Ben Gillette, you know, the big guy from Penn and Teller on 92.3 Free FM.
If you couldn't catch Penn Gillette today, here's what you missed.
And this is a very special episode of the Penn Gillette Show. You're very special. Like the one where Alan Alda did the whole thing with the one Vietnamese child on MASH. It's kind of like that kind of show. Very special, very artsy, very scholarly. Our guest here today, the amazing Gilbert Gottfried.
Hello. Thank you, Howard. wait a second.
Yeah. We did a movie called The Aristocrats.
Yes.
And
yes.
I did many, many interviews where I talked about you being the genius of comedy. I said you were the Picasso of comedy, you were the Stravinsky, you were the Miles Davis of comedy. So be funny, Gilbert.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. Yeah.
Gilbert has, I'm going to say this right up front, has a DVD out called Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes. Was that your idea to do a Dirty Joke DVD?
It was my idea for the title. Yeah, because, you know, there were a lot of choices I could have made, and that was one you got to think about.
And you can't tell the jokes on the radio because we're free FM. What jokes do you cover in there?
I can tell them?
Well, if you have a clean version of the dirty jokes.
Oh, why don't I just do, like, the clean punchlines?
Okay, go ahead.
Some of the dirty jokes. Let me see if I remember any. You told me yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Yes. Yes. Let me see. Help me find my keys so we can drive out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have another one?
Okay. Let's see. Let me see that map again.
Okay. That's the same joke.
Oh.
Let me see the map again. Israel piece in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me see the map again. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And how long is the DVD?
It feels like 3 hours. Yeah. Might just be 5 minutes, but it feels so much longer.
And you recorded it live in New York City?
Yes, live in New York City at some club. I even do yet another version of The Aristocrats.
Do you really?
Made famous from a film. Yeah. I forget the name of that film.
I believe the film was called The Aristocrats.
How do you like that?
And you're that movie where Jerry Lewis plays a bellboy?
Oh,
what was the name of that movie?
That's
a tough one.
Yeah.
And, you claim... Well, I guess we could have this out in the end.
Yes.
You claim that you were the one to first tell me the Aristocrats joke.
Yes. I claim it was in Vegas, and we were sitting in that coffee shop.
And then that's the first time I heard it, you're claiming that?
Yes, yes.
Except you told it to me in New York before that.
Oh, okay.
You're just saying I have a very bad memory.
What I meant was I told you in New York to build you up for the fact that I would then tell you in Las Vegas.
The time that you you told the Aristocrats that is most memorable to me, although not on film, was the time when I had a guy from MIT, and he had a French wife. His wife was, and that's not even a euphemism. She was from France.
I remember, yes, yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
We were at the China Grill, which is kind of a fancy New York restaurant. And she was French, and he had this attitude toward her that was very kind of, I don't want to say condescending, but that's the first word that comes to mind. He was very paternal. He took care of his wife.
Right.
She was French, which he took as a synonym for mentally challenged.
Yes.
And he would explain everything to her, you know, hold up the menu. And even if the dish was in French, he would explain what that dish was, right? And so he wanted to hear The Aristocrats. This is way before the movie, way before all of America was just gaga for that joke.
Yes.
And they were sitting there with Gilbert Gottfried, who I had touted, probably incorrectly, as finest comedy mind and so on.
Yeah,
so they asked...
These things happen.
So you told the joke, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and of course you were alone. not surprising.
Yes.
The world was in stasis.
Yeah.
And
I don't think anyone in the audience is going, my God, how he slipped that in. I almost fell for it. Yeah.
And you told the Aristocrats joke in full glory. So it's my girlfriend at the time, me, and then MIT and the frog. and they're sitting there, and you tell the Aristocrats joke very loudly, very animated, and very inappropriate.
With waiters turning around.
Because you're talking about, it's a very scatological joke.
Yes.
It has a lot of incest in it, a lot of bestiality, and you really specialize in all of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is one of the reasons you didn't have a date.
Yes. A lot of various insertions and...
Yeah, all that stuff was going on. And you told it, you know. And then I, of course, laughed hysterically. And my date laughed hysterically. And they both laughed a lot. And then you and I had to go somewhere, I think, to sneak off to some sort of rendezvous. And my girlfriend and the MIT guy and the frog got in a cab together and headed uptown. And the French woman turned to the other two in the cab and said, "Would you explain to me why that is funny?" And we left them in a cab explaining why Gilbert Gottfried talking about sex was so terribly funny. And that's the time of the Aristocrats I remember the most. Now, on your DVD, you also do impressions, or the half hour of impressions?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
What impressions do you do? Yes. Very topical ones? Let's hear a couple of your impressions.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a Robert Mitchell.
Come on, let's hear something.
Bela Lugosi, Groucho. That's still, I do the old Groucho Marx.
Do some of the old
Groucho.
Yes,
that's
the live
would,
one?
Yeah, yes, when he would pop up on Dick Cavett.
So I remember when we were filming A Night at the Opera. Now, you would use film cameras, and cameras, they would make movies with these cameras. And then one time, where I was filming with Chico, there was a scene with Chico, and I was my brother, Chico, and they would film the two of us, and that's because they had a camera, and the film was put inside the camera. Now, back then, that was years ago, and that's how you'd pick certain periods of time. You'd call them a year or 7 years and various other. If it was less than a year, it could be a month, because that's less, and it would add up. That's the way they would do it.
Now, does this impression go right until Groucho dies? You just keep going.
It's all the years. It's all his later years.
You get going.
He lingered on for another 15 years. Well,
the reason that you are the finest at this is that you don't bring your fingers up to your lips as though holding a cigar.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that, you know, because the hacks, they're afraid we're not going to know who you're doing. So they bring the cigar up.
Well, that's like everyone who does Nicholson and shoves their hair all the way back on their head.
They put their hand on their head, yeah.
Yes.
Because Nicholson always held his hand on top of his head.
See, any Nicholson movie, he's holding his head
now,
for no reason whatsoever.
What's interesting about that is that even comedians that are bald will hold their hand on their head because they think it's part of the...
Because some guys started it to make it look like the high forehead of Nicholson, like by pushing his hair back. And then everyone imitates everyone else's imitation.
Right, no one does an imitation of the person. Everybody does an imitation of the first person who did the imitation.
Yeah, so people would see Nicholson and they'd go, okay, he's the guy who holds his head.
Now, you claim, smarty pants, that you have the Jerry Seinfeld that everyone does, right?
Yes.
Were you the first to do Jerry Seinfeld?
I'd say so. It was.
Does anyone other than you believe me?
It was in a diner in Las Vegas that I first.
You've done it in New York before.
Yes, I did it first in New York.
But you used to do Seinfeld before anybody cared who Seinfeld was.
Exactly.
Not that we care now. I don't want to give the wrong impression. Not that we care now, but if someone were to care about Seinfeld, you did the impersonation before they cared.
way before they cared.
And do you believe that anybody that does Seinfeld is doing your impersonation?
They could be.
Let's hear your Seinfeld.
Okay.
You know, when I was
yes.
in the cameras. In the
when I was years ago.
That's exactly Seinfeld.
It was, we had two characters on the show named Elaine and Kramer. And they would pop in, and they were extra characters.
Let's hear your Seinfeld.
Okay. See, I used to do Seinfeld before anyone knew who he was, when he was just working out at the clubs. Mm-hmm. And just to annoy him, I'd go up on stage and imitate him, and the comics would be in the back laughing. And Seinfeld wouldn't come into the room when that was going on. He'd be hanging out in the bar going,
that doesn't sound anything like me. I don't talk like that. He gives me this weird high-pitched voice, and I don't sound that way. I think if they're laughing at all, it's a fact that it does not sound like me.
But if no one knew who he was and no one cared,
yes.
then...
Only the comics. Yeah.
So you've never been concerned about the audience.
No, the audience would be sitting there staring, as they still do.
Now, when I first, I think I first saw you in probably 74... When did you first start working the clubs?
1928.
Yes. And you used to go on at the end of the night
yes.
after everyone and do everyone's act before you, right? I mean, in a lampooning
yeah.
type
yes.
way. Not in a stealing type way, of course. And that's what you did, Seinfeld. And
yeah.
when did you first do your Robin Williams?
Oh, I used to do Robin Williams out there, which was basically like, oh, look at that. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's Osama bin Laden. Oh.
Now, Robin Williams was talking about Osama bin Laden
way before,
in 1974.
Yes, way before
now,
Osama
why?
Bin
this
Laden
is what's bothering me. With that
known.
Information,
yes.
why did Mork yes. not tell the FBI that they were planning a terrorist attack?
He could have said, nanu, nanu, and stopped the whole thing.
But no, he
but
didn't.
No.
No, he didn't at all. Now, we just got an email question from
yes.
Paul Provenza,
oh, okay.
director of the Aristocrat. Do you really have an email question?
I do have an email question for Provenza. You caught me entirely off guard sleeping, though.
His question is this an actual radio show? Yes.
You're going to have to give me a minute.
Okay,
sorry.
We'll give you a minute. We'll
come
back to
that.
Now, the one thing that I heard you do once.
Yes.
One routine I heard you do once, I never heard you do since, and maybe since I have you on the radio, because
yes.
I can't ask you in regular day-to-day life.
Yes.
That would be humiliating.
Yes.
You once did George Harrison and John Lennon doing Who's On First, and I'm thinking now that they're both dead, and there's no fear of retribution, you know, because the only person you've done alive so far is Jerry Seinfeld,
yes.
and it's not like Jerry's going to kick your ass.
Yes.
So, Groucho, you're safe, right?
Yes.
Robin Williams, you know, he can get angry, but you're okay. But do you do the John Lennon and George Harrison? What killed me about that was that to most American speakers, and I try to consider myself to be one, to most of them, the Beatles all talk exactly the same. It's just Liverpool.
Well, do you remember when they had the Beatles cartoon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so all of them sounded like Ronald Coleman. He's like, hello, George. Oh, those bank robbers are after us now. We'll have to do something about it.
But Ringo had a different voice during that, didn't he?
Oh, I guess he was the only one with a different voice.
Because he's the funny Beatle.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was the very, very funny Beatles. We had to have a funny voice.
To think that both George and John are now known as the Quiet Beatles.
Can you do a little of Who's On First with George Harrison and John Lennon?
Yeah, well, the way you really lead into it is to say, hey, you know, I heard somewhere.
Okay. You know what? You know, Gilbert, I heard somewhere that there is a rare recording
yes.
of John Lennon and George Harrison, who were both big comedy fans, doing the Abbott and Costello classic, Who's On First. Do you have a tape with you of that? Do you have a tape of that?
Why, yes.
Could you play that for us? Why don't we hit that button? There's a lot of leader on the tape.
Yes. I'll hit the button after you stop drooling. Oh, let's see.
Take your time.
Let's see if I remember it. John Lennon and George Harrison doing their beloved Who's on First Base. What's the fella's name on first base? What's the fella's name on second base? I'm not asking you who's on second. Who's on first? We're not talking about him. When you pay off the first baseman, who gets the money? Every penny of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it. Who is? Naturally. So you pay off naturally. No, we pay off who?
I thought that was going to go until one of them was shot.
Yes, yes.
You know, the one thing different between Picasso, Miles Davis, Stravinsky, and you is the other three had endings. Picasso, you know, in the Gilbert Gottfried world, Picasso is still painting.
Yes.
He's still going, I'm not sure. I'll just do that flower again.
Yeah.
They're still.
Maybe I'll put faces on the flowers now.
Big smiley happy faces.
You know what? I could paint a boat over the flowers.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there's that. There's that show that they used to have. What was that show where they did painting on? They taught you how to paint on like,
oh, yes,
PBS or something. Who was that guy's name?
I forget.
That whack job.
Guy who's always talking like this. Yes, always.
Yeah, and he would paint. He would paint, and it always looked finished to me.
And me too.
It always looked done. Like he put like two trees in, and I'd go.
I go. Yeah,
that's
I go,
fine.
That's
fine.
That's
and then he'd go. Now we work in the house. We go.
Yes.
Oh, a house. There
yes.
could have been a house. Why did I think of a house? Two trees and a lake. That's fine for me. He thinks of a house. Oh. There's going to be a door
yes.
on the house. There's a door on the... Oh, he's a genius. Chimney. He's got a chimney. And then by the time he gets down to putting the hairs of the chipmunk, you know, in the front yard, it's like I'm going, I thought it was a bald chipmunk. I was fine with that, you know. Everything looks done to me.
I like the fact that he goes, and now we're going to add, like, a street of skyscrapers here. And he'd like, tap.
Right.
The brush once on it, and it makes like a perfect skyscrapers with windows.
Yeah, but that's because
window washers.
That's because he
going by.
That's what he tells you in advance.
Yes.
He said it's like a cheating at the Rorschach test.
Yes.
Let me show you a picture of your mother having sex with your sister. What does that look like to you?
And to make it worse. He'd show an actual photograph.
Right, he'd say, here's a photograph of the New York skyline, and now here's what I've done with my brush. Boom! You have to kind of just squint a little. If you squint just a little, you can see. You see the little window up at the side? See the window washer? Here's a sandwich in his pocket.
Yes.
Boom! We're going to discuss painting more with Gilbert Gottfried. I think the finest comedy mind in the world. Gilbert Gottfried here for a whole hour with Penn Jillette and Michael Godeau from Vintage Nude Studio. We'll be back after this, and Gilbert is going to get funny.
Catch Penn Jillette live weekdays from 2 to 3 on 92.3 Free FM.